You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Do I remember yesterday we had a big debate around Mayor Herman Mashaba having effected a citizen's arrest of a man that in Joburg CBD was pushing around in trolleys, cow's heads and what have you. And many of you were mortally upset by how the mayor had handled the situation. Although, to be fair, I think, at least just anecdotally, a good 30-40% of the SMSs and calls we got said, this mayor deserves a pat on the back. He is rule-abiding. And if there's a public health scare, then many of us will ask for his head, so he's doing the right thing. And then there were other people, including Vusi Tembekwayo, and I'd sent out that little short audio of his intervention on the open line yesterday, who said, listen, you can be rule abiding, you can care about public health, and at the same time, you can ask yourself, what is it that explains why it is that in terms of informal traders, someone might find themselves in the CBD violating bylaws? And you can either be a cowboy or you can try and address the structural conditions that explain why even a violation of a bylaw might take place. So we thought we'll ask the mayor to come on the show for a minute or two and just to react to the public discussion around what had taken place, both in terms of what he had done, but also some of the remarks that he had made. Some of you also thought that the remarks bordered on, if not actually being Afrophobic, in terms of the kind of language that the mayor has used. So joining us right now is Executive Mayor of Johannesburg, Herman Mashaba. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Eusebius, and thank you so very much for always giving to me the opportunity to really come on the show. It's something truly and deeply appreciate.
You're a fascinating politician, and you know that you fascinate me. I respect you deeply. I love your energy. I think you have great intentions. But I also love just observing as an analyst how you divide the public. Now, I do understand, Mayor, and I take it as absolutely critically important that in a law-abiding society, we have to respect the Foodstuffs, Cosmetic and Disinfectants Act of 1972, which is very clear that the handling or the transporting of food must get a certificate of acceptability from their local municipality. To that extent, you have the law on your side. I'm not so sure whether from a tone point of view and a sensitivity point of view you have public opinion on your side, because having the law on your side is step one. But surely the more politically savvy thing to do is to ask yourself, how is it that tens of thousands of black South Africans who are poor, who are jobless, may find themselves flouting some obscure 1972 act that they probably do not know even exists? You could have handled this differently, couldn't you?
Well, I think it's for that reason yesterday with my team, I thought, you know what, when I look at it in reflection, I said, let me apologize perhaps out of real serious frustration, because I deal with really very sensitive matters on a daily basis. Just to really quickly give you in context, you see this, what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 hours earlier, I'm busy right now with our limited budget, looking at our adjustment budget that I need to present to council early next year. And precisely working on the question of our health facilities, our 82 clinics are under tremendous pressure. So I pushed my team to ensure that we have mobile clinics, because we as a city don't have money to be building new clinics immediately. But at the same time, I've got all these informal settlements. Our people have to wake up at 4 in the morning, go to clinics, different types of diseases. And I pushed my team, they accepted that we put in money to buy 7 clinic, mobile clinics, cost 5 million rands per clinic before you put operational cost. And I managed to get the guys. 2 hours later, I leave the office. As I leave the office, first traffic light, here's someone coming in, pushing me, flies all over, blood on the street. I said, my goodness, what's happening here? So that's when I stopped him. I said, tell me who are you, where are you going? And immediately called JNPD and our health inspectors. Something like this, in this heat. And I've just really been discussing the health of our people, which I take personal responsibility for, and with my limited resources. That's when I called the health inspectors and JMPD. I said, please, and guys handle this matter. But obviously, I think with some of the people now using this matter in as politics, I think really using Ebola, I thought maybe I went too much. That's what I thought. Let me apologize for really using Ebola as a potential threat. However, I'm saying to our people, please, I think the health of our people has got to really take precedence, because ultimately, you can imagine if there's a breakout of some kind of disease, you know, the CBS, you'll be asking me in your studio to come and explain why did I put my head in the sand.
No, I will, Mayor, and I applaud you for recognizing that perhaps you could have handled this differently. And you're right that I and many other members of the public, including the harshest critics of the moment, are the same ones that will come for your non-existing wig if there was a health outbreak and you could have done something about it. So you're absolutely spot on. I think the complexity here goes beyond you. It goes beyond the DA, the ANC, and it really is about our society, which is to say that we want to keep people safe, but we also want to be sensitive about the informal economy itself. And I think if we reduce this incident to a matter of compliance with some act in relation to health, that is too narrow. We need to throw the net wider over this case study. We could have taken a less visceral example. Take, for example, the window cleaners at the traffic lights. They may be violating all sorts of laws, and then we can ask for the heads of the head of the JMPD if they don't do something to get rid of these people. But exactly that kind of language, these people that are nuisances in the traffic. Or you could have a different attitude and you can ask yourself, my God, if colonialism and apartheid didn't happen, maybe I would have been the one, as Herman Mashaba, trying to sell Scorpo, and this person could have been the rare black like me, Mogul. I need to count my blessings firstly. And secondly, maybe I can get this person to not make the public sick, but maybe there's someone else in my team that I can ask, can you try to make sure that we don't kill the entrepreneurial spirit in this man?
Absolutely. I think, Eusebius, as a new administration, we're only for 2 years into government. We've set up the five world-class opportunity centers where we train the entrepreneurs in terms of compliance. We've got five already open. The first one is, you're aware, open in Marshalltown, opened to others in other areas. By end of June of 2019, I'll have at least a minimum of seven throughout the city. Where I work with South African Revenue Services, I work with the South African Chartered Accountants, I work with the banks, I bring in professional people, where we try and get our people to formalize their businesses. Because for as long as you're not going to formalize your business, that you have no chance of ever growing. And I think the studies done all over the world in terms of how small businesses don't succeed, and to a large extent because of non-compliance. So I believe very strongly, as a business person, as an entrepreneur myself, the only way we're going to allow our people to grow is to assist them to formalize their business. And we've done it. This opportunity center is not a dream. We they are already there. So, but at the same time, what I think for me was scary about this is the health risk. If I look at the pressure to go into any of our clinics right now, people have been there from 4 o'clock in the morning. They leave at 4 or 5 in the afternoon. We've extended the hours of clinics. I'm sure you're aware, in the city of Johannesburg, when I took over, the clinics used to operate Monday to Friday, 8 to 4 o'clock. And I said, this is unacceptable. Into government, I started a pilot project in one of the informal settlements. I opened a clinic Monday to Sunday, Christmas Day, everything open until 9 o'clock at night. Today, we've got 13 clinics in the city of Johannesburg operating Monday to Friday, extended hours. By June of 2019, you'll have 26 clinics operating on extended hours. Because ultimately, I want to throw away the keys of those clinics so that our people can get health, the proper health care.
I accept all of that. I accept all of that. I just want to... Yeah, and I hear you on that, and I'm not trying to examine your record here. We can do so in future. There's no doubt that there's a lot that you've done that is excellent for the city, and I'll be the first to acknowledge that. We called you here for a very quick little chat on the open line about this issue. Can I ask you this as a final question? What has happened to this gentleman?
Well, unfortunately, it's not. I mean, I left him with the health the department and GMPD. Obviously, I've not really followed up. I've been really very busy. Obviously, what was disturbing because when GMPD and the health inspectors came wanting to really know his identity, only to discover that he doesn't. He says, unfortunately, he does not have documents. He's a Zimbabwean citizen, and he does not have papers to be in South Africa. But then. Then left him with the police because that matter has got nothing to do with me. What happened to him, I've not really followed up. So this clearly gives you an idea of the magnitude of issues that I've got to deal with.
Should you not, I mean, let me give you advice that you haven't asked for. Given that you are the one that have blown up this man's identity, should you not be the one to keep tabs on how this matter is handled and that we don't criminalize poverty, that we don't scapegoat someone even without papers who is a Zimbabwean, and stay with the story and turn it into a good news story for you, for the city, and even for your party? I mean, I think it's you've started the conversation very well by conceding that it's important, yes, for you to uphold the law, but then it may be that in terms of tone, wording, and framing, you could have handled it differently. But I think you would agree with me, it's not good enough to say, it's now not in my hands. You're a powerful man, you could pick up the phone and keep tabs on what happens to
you. You see this, I've got to be extremely careful as an executive mayor to interfere with our criminal justice system, because otherwise, then we're in trouble. If politicians can interfere directly in deciding who must be charged and who should not really be
charged. That's not what I said. If you accept that this man is part of the... Mayor, if you are sincere in how you started this conversation, then we have to judge you by how the story ends, not just how it has begun. I'm not telling you to interfere with what the police or the NPA might decide. But for example, let's say they make a decision, whatever their decision is, I'm just taking one hypothetically, and they decide, you know what, it's not worth our resources to even charge this man. They take that decision autonomously without your interference. This man will continue to be an informal trader. What will you do to make sure that you bring him into the formal fold?
Yeah, as I've indicated immediately that yesterday morning, in fact, not yesterday, the very same evening when I got home, I got hold of our health inspectors, GMPD, and our social development team. Let us do everything to go into the inner city and other areas where we have informal traders to ensure that we inform them about the facilities that we are offering them. We teach them to make sure that they can assist us with compliance, because unfortunately we cannot have a situation where we apply the laws selectively. So we have a team right now going around to all the informal sectors where they're not complying, then we can obviously offer them assistance. Right now, in this current budget, I think I've got a budget of about 15 million rand to set up trading areas for informal sector. So we are doing something. It's not like, I mean, we're not. It's just that the issues are so huge that I'm not a magician to be able to sort out Johannesburg problems overnight. So in this current budget, we are setting up the trading areas in various parts of the city, so that as these people operate, let them operate within the law. At the same time, make sure that the health of our overall nation is protected.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks so much for coming and for always being held accountable. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Cheers. That's Executive Mayor of the City of Johannesburg, Herman Mashaba. What do you make of his remarks on the back of a debate that you started yesterday on the show about how it handled the matter? Divided the public on this one. We're allowed to see it in many different ways. I started off being fairly neutral and agnostic on the matter, but there were one or two callers, including Vusita Maguire's call, that persuaded me that, in fact, not to be neutral on the matter. I think it is possible to respect the public health interest, the rule of law, and also to have proper and due regard for the reality of how it is that many, many, particularly poor black people end up being part of the informal sector, and many often flout the laws, not because they set out to be criminals, but because of a history that we need to understand and respond to if we want a more inclusive economy. And I think politicians, and I don't care whether you're DA, ANC or EFF or some other small little party or coalition that's in charge of a municipality in a far-flung corner of the country, I think it's incredibly important that we don't hide behind the importance of legality as an excuse to not be humane when we respond to poverty. Otherwise, we're going to end up criminalizing the poor.